No, no, no.
Okay, we left off on the Daf Tesla days when the Gemara was listing off the different chumras that certain mazikim have over others. And one of them the Gemara threw out for us is that a shor that's mazik, not even mazik really, more than mazik, kills somebody actually. So it's a nigma dino, osebano. So the not only is there a dinimumnus issue involved that the owner has to, whether it's kofar, not kofar, etc., but the mice of the shor itself is going to be punished, and the shore itself is going to be killed, and nigma dino osir bahano, and then the result is going to be that the shore is osir bahano. So the question is, what exactly do those words mean? Nigma dino osir bahano. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that the moment of Gemar din is the osir. That's what the simple reading of the Gemara is in Daf Memalaf. Another six in Shas, so the Gemara speaks about shachto le'achet nigma dino osir bahano, that even if the owner jumps the gun and shechts it before the actual skila is meted out, it's still osir bahano. That seems to indicate that's not the Shas HaSkila that's the Geir of the Yisr, but it's actually the Gemar HaDin, and that's the Gzeres HaKos L'Echos B'Sorah. That's what the Brice seems to present. And we mentioned that Rabbeinu Tam has a very, very different way of reading all these sukkahs. Rabbeinu Tam understood that the Gemar HaDin is not really the Osir. The Loshna Gemar is a little bit lavdafka, Nigmar Din or Osir. What the Gemar really means to say is that Nigmar HaDin and subsequently the animal is now dead. Whether the animal was killed, whether the animal was shechted, that doesn't really matter. But the animal is dead already. Kozman, the animal is still alive, even though there was a Gemar Din. Rabbi Natam says the animal is in fact Mutar Bahano. If you want to take a ride in the animal for a little bit before it's killed, the shechted, etc., that would be perfectly okay according to the view of Rabbi Natam. So again, according to most of the Rishon, Nigma Dino means what it sounds like, and according to Rabbi Natam, that is not the case. So we began on Thursday just to go through some of the Rosh Hashanah, some of the Gemaras that also refer to this idea of Nigmar HaDin, as to what those Gemaras mean in the worldview of Rav Rishon, what they mean in the worldview of Rabbeinu Tam. So one of the Gemaras that we bumped into was the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, where the Gemara was discussing a more general question about can Bali Chayim be Osir Bahano altogether. Why was the Gemara talk about this in Kiddushin? For the very, very common Shaila about the person's Mekadesh Isha with Tziporim Mitzorah. A person's got nothing else under the chuppah. He's trying to figure out, he can't find the ring, he can't find the coin, can't find anything. So he's searching high and low to try to find something to be Mekadesh with. So the Mishnah lists off, if he tries to be Mekadesh with, Osir B'cholov, so that's not going to work. If he tries to do the Kaddish with the Gemara talks about Chavon for Pesach, that's not going to work because all these things are Asurim Bahano. Why can't you even Kaddish Nishu with something that's Asur Bahano? Anyone know why? Not sure. Pruta, any other ideas? Maybe it's not his. Any other ideas? Maybe it won't become hers when you give it to her. Any other ideas? I think a lot of ideas. What? Okay, so don't feel bad if you think of a lot of ideas. There are a lot of different reasons why. But the Mishnah says that it's no good. And the Kaddish B'Yisrael No is no good. So one of the many, many things on the list of B'Yisrael No are Tzipar Mitzorah. Of course, at this time, we'll make reference to the famous Talmud of mine, who years ago in the Shir, I commented that we're probably living in Kiddushin at the time. I commented that, you know, marriages are, not that marriage is boring, but weddings tend to be pretty boring. They're pretty much all the same. You know, Rabbi asks the same questions. You know, they make the same announcement, everyone turn off your cell phones, you know, walk around the same seven times. I mean, it's exciting when you're the one getting married, but when you're sitting at your 14th wedding that week, you know, it's a little bit less exciting. But we try to smile and put our best foot forward and try to be mishamech as best as we can. So I don't want to dissuade anyone from getting married. I know the chassadim are looking forward to getting married. Everyone here, hopefully, in the gym will get married. Those who are already married, so stay married, whatever it is. Anyway, everyone should be, okay, good. So that was brought to you by YU Connects. We're always there to help you. You can see that my wife should be on Wednesday. Okay. What we told about, oh yeah. So I said that it would be so interesting and so, you know, fascinating if somebody, instead of just bringing a ring, would actually bring like a shohanistol or something, or, you know, maybe Tzipar Mitzorah, maybe he would find a nozzle to shave his head and get some time nozzle, and I can think of something else much more entertaining under the chuppah. So one of my tabidim took me seriously. He didn't bring a shor on his skull, but as he was about to put the ring on his cow's finger, he turned to me and he said, Rebbe, this is where I'm supposed to take out the shor on his skull, right? And I think the girl's father may have heard that, and I tried to take care of that after there's a wash over. I said, what a wonderful, you know, son-in-law you're getting, such a London. He can't think of anything else except for that moment of truth, the most important moment of his life, and it's a orangutan in Hilchot Shohanisko. Okay, good. So Somebody told me once, somebody spoke about at the Chasam Tish, they were learning Kedushin, so they thought they were talking about something appropriate. They didn't even realize that it didn't exactly fit the topic well. They talk about the Sugya Behema Gasa, nicknamed the Meshicha, at the Chasam Tish. It didn't sound right for a Kedushin Shibbutar. Okay. So anyway, we'd have a different thing. The only thing that could have been worse, they learned the Sugya of Shibbutar Kananis. That could have been one perhaps one. Okay, anyway, getting back to that story. So the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin, the second parak, that how do we even know that Tzipor Mitzora is also Bano? So the emphasis is that not both of the Tzipor, there are two Tzipor Mitzora, two birds that the Mitzora brings as part of the Tarsi Mitzora process. One becomes also Bano, that's called the Tzipor Hashchuta, and the other is in fact Mutar Bano, that's the Tzipor Hamishulachas, the one that gets sent off. So how do you know which one's also, how do you know which one's Mutar? So the Gemara develops the whole Yesod that it's very, very unlikely that a Baal Chai is going to really be Osab Hano. We very rarely find that the Torah creates Yisurah non-Baal Chayim. Non-Baal Chayim, there are a lot of non-Baal Chayim Osab Hano, but to be alive and well and still be Osab Hano is almost not Shayach in Halacha. So Gemara says, really? Is that true? What about Ashur HaNiskol? After all, Nigma Dina Osab Hano. Gemara says, you're right. It's possible, but again, it's so unlikely. It's one of five, in contrast to the thousands of other cases of things, thousands, maybe two, three other cases of things that are also banor after Shechita. So therefore, if we have to figure out what the Kavanah Sator is, when the Torah tells us that one of the Tziporim is Mutter, one of the Tziporim is Osir, it's much more likely that the one that's going to be killed is the one that's going to be Osir. Very unlikely the one that's alive is going to be Osir, because Ro Balechem and not Nesarim. So the super meaning of the Gemara is that, okay, but Shor Nisko really is Nesa B'chayim, in Ochinami, which is exactly what Rav Rishonim said, that Nigma Dina was Tav Osim Hano. How would Rabbi Natan respond to that? So Rabbi Natan would have to say something along the lines of that, even according to Rabbi Natan, that the Shor Nisko is Mutav Hano B'chayim, that means if you want to ride it right now, but you're not allowed to shecht it. It means if you go ahead and you shecht it, so that's going to create a Nisav Hano. So it's Nesa Mechayim in the sense of that there are things, there are limitations on what you're allowed to do to a live animal. It doesn't mean that there are real limitations that you can't ride the live animal. That taka doesn't exist according to Rabbi Natan, even by Shor HaNiskol. It just means that unlike other Baal Chayim, where we don't even find there should be any limitations on, here there's a real limitation that the Torah throws at you, called Nigma Dina Osma. No, but not really Nigma Dina. No, really, Nigma Dina that sets up the situation of if and when it gets shechted, it's like a lot of words after Nigma Dino, that's called Osab Hano. So I mean, at times going to have to whitewash that Gemara a little bit, that it doesn't contradict what he says. Are there any other Gemaras that pose a potential challenge for Ben Atam? So there's another one that Tosfos points out. I think we put on the Maamar Kabbis, the Gemara Erech and Dav Zayin. We're going to talk for a moment about this Gemara, and we're going to hopefully save it for a little bit later on, because Erech and Dav Zayin is going to become a pivotal discussion on the Yud and Alf and Bava Kama. We talk a little bit more about other things in the Yud, so Erech and Dav Zayin is going to come back in its full force. We're just going to make a quick reference to it now. The Gemara in Erech and Dav Zayin is actually addressing the Mishnah at the end of the first parak about, it kind of got snuck into Erech and really Dach Agav, this has nothing to do with Erech, but the Mishnah, the Gemara talks about when a person has a Shor HaNiskol. So what parts of the Shor HaNiskol are also Bano? The Torah says, V'loy Ochlos B'soro. So I know what Bosa is, the flesh, the meat of the animal is also. What about the Seir? What about the hair of the Shor HaNiskol? So let's say you have the Shor HaNiskol, it's really a chmonis to waste so much money. You want to collect, I don't know how much hair a Shor HaNiskol would have and what you would do with the Shor HaNiskol's hair, but let's say you would want to collect the hair of the Shor HaNiskol, would that be a problem or not? So the Mishnah says unequivocally that, no, you can't use the hair of the Shor HaNiskol. Why is that? So the Gemara is discussing why that's true. Now, the Gemara is discussing that in contrast to certain other halachas governing other hair of other Yisur HaNoah, and again, we're leaving out the details because it's really going to be in Daf Yud, the mainstay of the Sugya Daf Yud, but bottom line is the Gemara uses the phrase, once again, if Shor HaNiskol is Nigma Dino, that the Nigma HaDin is the moment that Asas it, and therefore anything that was part of the Shor at the time of Nigma HaDin, maybe the meat, the hair, anything, that was all included in the Gemir, in the Gemara Din, and Nigma Dino Asabano. So comes Tosfos and says, we discovered again, the Gemara uses the same pism and the same lashon, Nigma Dino. According to Ben Atam, that's an inappropriate phrase. So Tosfos does the same pism again. No, well, that's not really what it meant. Nigma Dino, i.e., once it's Nigma Dino, and then you're not allowed to shecht it, and if you shecht it, then it becomes osabana. So we call it, it's all colloquially, we call it nigma dina osabana. But really, truly, honestly, Rabbi Natan says it's fact natural. So at the end of the day, we have multiple places in Chazal that use the same lashon. In the Baba Kavod of Tess, the Gemara is in Erechin, the Gemara is in Kedushin, they're all saying the same words. And in each one of these sugyas, so Rova Rishonim are learning the Gemara's Kipshutam, the Rabbi Natan is turning upside down, turn every single Gemara doesn't really mean what it says, because it's not really true. Nigma Dino is in fact not really truly Asabado. What prompted Rabbi Natan to do this acrobatics, to turn the Gemara's upside down? Just to convince you that Nigma Din is not really true, is there any Gemara in Rabbi Natan's favor? Is there any Gemara that's supporting Rabbi Natan? Any Gemara that's pointing in the direction of Rabbi Natan? So there is a combination of Gemaras that Tyson Sanhedrin discovered. There's a long, long Tyson Sanhedrin. Everyone had a chance to do the Tysus or the Ma'amal Kamas? I put a short snip. I put 15, 20 lines. It's a huge, anyone look up the Tysus? It's a huge, 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 huge Tysus. Anyone do the whole Tysus? Come on, you guys can do it. Okay. So it's a big, big, big Tysus. And you have 2 hours, it's a nice Tysus to learn. So Tosus quotes a combination of different Gemaras. They collected a whole series of Gemaras scattered throughout Bava Kamma, and presented a whole shekhlola to explain what ultimately prompted Rabbi Natan to say what he said. So we are going to try to reconstruct those Gemaras, try to understand those Gemaras, and then try to understand why Rabbi Natan is coming from where he's coming from, even though he's willing almost to take on all the regular lines of the Gemara, all the Nigma Dino Asbanos, he's willing to look by the wayside because of this underlying principle Rabbi Natan has tried to develop based on his reading of a series of Gemaras Bava Kamma. The Gemara in the 7th parak of Bava Kamma is dedicated primarily to the sugyas of Kefel and even more so to the sugyas of Dal Behei. We know the Torah tells us if you steal a shor or a seh, if you just steal it and you didn't do anything to it, so it's like any other dover that you stole, you have to pay Kefel. But if you went ahead and you tovech or mocher, then you have to pay for a shor, you have to pay. Make sure we get this right. Remember this? 5, and for a seh, you have to pay. Good. My daughter thought the other way around. I told her that some say my way. I said, okay, good. That's what the Chumash says, my way. So 5 is for a shor, and 4 is for a seh. If you're either teveach or you're meicher. So comes the Gemara, the 7th parak of Bava Kamma, and talks about a very, very creative case of a potential chiv of da'al behei. And the Gemara talks about the following, that a person, if you really want to combine bizarre areas of halacha, this makes for the most bizarre of the bizarre. The person goes ahead and he's gonevis ashore, and now the shore that he stole subsequently became a what? A shore haniskol. It killed somebody, was taken to the Dintaira, and now it's nigma dina. Oh, crazy, wild scenario. And now what happens? What does the guy do? He goes out and he's teveach, what? Teveach the shore haniskol. So Gemara wants to know, what's the din? Are you chayev dal fahey for being teveach something that already has been declared to be a shohar nisko? Is that including the parasha of mitvach or mechoro? That's the shaling. Okay, probably never happened from days of Moshe Rabbeinu until today, but the Gemara uses, as it does very often, sometimes a bizarre, strange, crazy case to develop all the basic Torah principles, all the lumdus, all the yisaidus of the Seventh Bava Kamma, all now merged together. You could spend days and weeks on this sugya of gana v'tavach shohar nisko, because it creates all the whole background as the perfect illustration for some of the yisaidus that we're about to discuss. I remember I was once heard two people, not necessarily very knowledgeable at anything, they were talking about, they were almost like making light of Chazal and saying that, they weren't talking about this case, they didn't even know this case. They were talking about some Mishnah somewhere. Oh, come on, Chazal talked about the craziest, silliest things, didn't have anything better to do with their time. So little did they understand that, first of all, every single case and every single wild case and everything is expression of the Chokh, the Rabbanu Shalom. But very often, as you learn time and time again, in the craziest, bizutiest, wildest, wackiest cases, so the Yisodas are presented, they become clarified and crystallized, and that gives you a much, much, much better understanding of what's going on in terms of quote-unquote normative halacha as well. So here the Gemara is discussing the governor of the Tavach Shohar Nisko. So there are a few different points that have to be clarified to understand whether you should or should not pay Dal Behei. So one basic question is, the Torah speaks about Utvacho, about Shechting. And in order to be Chai of Dal Behei, you have to do a Maisa Shechita. Utvacho is a Lashon, is a synonym for Shechita. What if I steal an animal, I shoot an animal? Would I be chayav for that? No. Well, how much would I have to pay? They steal an animal and shoot it. They're kefil, like any other stealing. So in order for the chiv of Dal Vei to kick in, it has to be utvacho. And the word utvacho is synonymous with a ma'isa halachik shechita. So let's say, for example, I shechted an animal and I goofed up the shechita. I did hagrom, ikosh, I did something wrong with the shechita. I stopped in the middle of cutting, I didn't cut the right amount of the simanim, I cut in the wrong place. I did something that results in the animal becoming an avela. Is that called the shechato? Is that called the tvacho? No. And therefore the person would not be chayav dal, they just pay kefal and call it a day. So that's the mefarish of Mishnah. Hashoychet v'nisnav l'biyado, so einu chayav dal b'hei. That's a given, everyone agrees to. Now it gets a little bit more tricky. What if I shecht the animal, and we open up the animal, okay, it's a very, very firm ganav, he would only eat glat, mahadra, and the meat, so he opens up the meat, b'shoysef glat, he's the biggest bachman, he opens up the animal, and lo and behold, he discovers that what? The animal is what? Is a treifa. What do you think about that? Is he chayv or is he not chayv? That's a lamed shoshah, what do you think about that? Chayv or not chayv? So one could argue that, well, it's a shechita. The fact that lamaisa, you can't eat the animal, okay, that's true but irrelevant. It's still called lamaisa shechita. Who can prove to me that it's still called lamaisa shechita? Give me a good proof in halacha that shechita's treif is a lamaisa shechita. It's a very, very good proof. Who knows a little bit about shechita's treif? If I shecht an animal and I goof up the shechita itself, let's say I missed the simanim or something, so halacha X, Y, and Z kicks in. If I shechted the animal properly, but it has a hole in its stomach or something, then halacha ABC kicks in. Anyone know the difference? What? Tumah. Is it tummy tumah tevel or not? So if I shechted an animal and I missed the simon, I did some mistake in the simon, so then it's tumah tevel. In that Torah, it's called the nevela. It's betami b'magav v'masa. Masha enkein, if I shechted him, it's treifa, so the shechitah says betarasa b'day nevela. So there's no tumas nevela. That's a Mishnah in Maseches Chul, the fourth perek. That's agreed upon here. But that's the chokhul ayavah, the Gemara derives from Sukkim. That shechitah's treifa is matar b'day nevela. Shechitah's nevela is mamash like shooting the animal in the head. It's the same thing, it's just the animal dying by itself. So that seems to point in the direction that a shechitah's treifa really is a shechitah. Now, we've mentioned this, I think we just mentioned this recently. There is a famous word from Reb Chaim. Did I quote this before? But I quote, I forgot what Sugi we were learning. That's the famous word for Reb Chaim about Shechitas Treifa. So Reb Chaim is a famous diuk in the Rambam that even though it's true that Shechitas Treifa is fundamentally a Shechita, but still the Issa Treifas is felt in the Shechita. The Issa Treifas is a chisor in the Shechita per se. Namely, that Shechita can only take place on a live animal. An animal is a Treifa, so it's Ke'ilu, it's the Miktas Enochai, Treifa Enochaya. So there's something wrong with the Shechita. Now again, there's not anything wrong to the degree that it's metame ben avela. But to say that the din of treif is totally mufka from hilchos shechita, Reb Chaim is a din from the Rambam is not correct. Reb Chaim is some rice and bones and chum, that's not correct. So again, that's a very, very lamda shavuot. That's like a very, very deep esoteric lamda shavuot from Reb Chaim. That was the schadish when? What? That was his bar mitzvah pshat. That's what he's like, you guys. Like you, and that's what we spoke about Rabbi Mitzvah, right? So Rabbi Chaim had his deal from a Rambam Hilchos Avos HaTumas that the din of Shechitas Treifa is not totally and completely devoid of apostles and Hilchos Shechita proper. But again, that's already in the Olam HaTalyein of Rabbi Chaim. The Pashta Dvarim is that when you shecht something and it's a Treifa, you did a good Shechita, it's just now there's another problem. We have a problem of Treifas that you have to reckon with. So is that called the Shechita for the purposes of Tevachah Mecharo? So the Gemara presents in the seventh parak of Bava Kamma, it's a Mishnah, presents a major machlokes. Who and who? Anyone know? Through Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan? No, anyone know this? No. Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan called Shechita She'ena Re'uya Shema Shechita, or Shechita She'ena Re'uya Lo Shema Shechita. Namely, there are many, many areas of halacha that the Torah requires Shechita for. Shechita is an engine that kicks in a whole series of different halachas. So what's the din if I shech something? And I did a good shechita. I cut the siman properly, but now there's some external reason why I can't eat that meat. Let's say, for example, treifa. That's a good example. Hashach v'nim says treifa. That's called a shechita she'ena ru'uya. So again, that's not called a shechita. It's called a shechita she'ena ru'uya. So an example of that would be treifa. There are a half dozen other examples. So it's machlekes Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon says that a shechita she'ena ru'uya, for all purposes of halacha, is ke'ilu lo nishchita. Again, it doesn't mean that's matam and avail. Matam and avail, it's not. But whenever the Torah requires a din shechita for din X, Y, and Z to be chal, it's ki'ilu there was no shechita. And the Rabbanan say, shechita shenaruya is shma shechita. Okay? So he says, lav shma shechita, and he says shma shechita. What are some of the nafkaminas ladina that I care about hukha shechita? What halachas are dependent upon a ma'isa shechita? Anyone learn daf yomi these days? Give me a quick example. Give me an example in halacha outside of anything we're talking about that would depend on was there a shechita done or not. What other dinim in halacha depend on the ma'isa shechita? What? Anybody know? We got a lot of chum to learn next year. It's going to be exciting year next year. I don't know if I'll learn the first back, but yeah. No? Who's going to tell me? What halacha depend on shechita? Anything? Kis Yadam. That's a good one, right? If I shech the chayr and oaf, so then I have to do Kisi Adam. So what if I shech the chayr and oaf, it turns out it's a treifa. Do I have to do Kisi Adam or not? Do I have to cover the blood or not? So if you hold shechita shenruya shmo shechita, so then presumably I would be mechuyev in the midst of Kisi Adam. If you lav shmo shechita, then presumably there would be a mevchayev in Kisi Adam. That's not a bad enough kavina. Pretty good, okay? Anyone got some more? Anyone got some others? No others? Give me that name by Perek and Chulin. What's the Perek before Kisi Adam? Anyone know? It's the Perek about six Perekim later. Anyone know what it is? Oh, so vs. B'no. There's an issue of the Torah. Oh, Vishor, Oseh. Anyone hear that lady? We lay like 10 times a year. Oh, so vs. B'no. Lo tishchatu b'yom echad. The Torah doesn't say lo tahargu b'yom echad. The Torah doesn't say don't shoot b'yom echad. The Torah says lo tishchatu b'yom echad. So the only time I'm chayim malchus for your Soviets, you know, for shechting the mother and the baby on the same day, is only if I did a ma'aseh shechita. So what would the din be? I shechted a mother, and it turns out to be a treifa. Is there anything wrong with shechting the baby an hour later? So if you hold that shechita shen ruya is shma shechita like the Rabbanan, that would be an issur deraisa. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, so then that would be okay. That would be perfectly permissible. That's not called the ma'aseh shechita altogether. And give me another example, which is, of course, the example we're talking about. There are a few others, but we have enough. Whether you chayef or what? Fidal behe. If I shecht, I shech with him to strefa. So I go ahead and I stole an animal, I shecht it, I open it up and I see it's missing, it's got a hole in the heart, a hole in the lungs, a hole in the stomach, a hole in the brain, something like that. So it's a treif. I can't eat it anymore. Now I'm caught by Beis Din. Am I chayef to pay dal behe? So according to Rabbi Shimon, no, Hashem is just treif. It's part of the dalvei, just pay kef like any other ganav. According to the Rabbanan, I'm chayef to pay dalvei. So these are all the same shahs, all the same example of is the shechita shenruya kein shma shechita or lo shma shechita. It happens to be just for your own knowledge in Torah that the answer to all the questions is not necessarily the same. The Gemara says that in Kol HaTorah Kula we happen to not pass it like Rabbi Shimon. We pass it in all these cases. There would be and there would be a lot malchus yosef is beno. Kisi Adam happens to be a quirk. There's a special zayasakosa that says asher ye ochel b'kisi Adam, and if you shech a chayer and oaf and you can't eat it for whatever reason, then there's no kisi Adam for a zaitkum. It's for a technical reason, a tangential reason. There's a special din called asher ye ochel. But fundamentally, it should have, if not for that zayasakosa, it should have been part of the same picture. The machlekes of Shimon Rabbanan. Fine. So we have machlekes of Shimon Rabbanan. What's the din shchita shenuri? Okay, good, very nice. Rabbi say, give me another example of a shechita shenruya besides shechita strefa. Shechita is what? Shohaniskal. Because a shohaniskal is not edible. Lo ye'ochlas besorom. Now, there's nothing wrong with the shechita. The knife was sharp and the siman were cut through beautifully and perfectly. Everything was done in kedas uchanin, except there's an isser now, a tangential isser of lo ye'ochlas besorom. So the Gemara says this is a perfect example of a shechita shenruya. So if I shech the shor haniskal, and now we're being done, we're discussing, am I chayav dal v'hei or not? So the Gemara says, well, it depends on Mishimon and Rabban. So according to Mishimon, you cannot possibly be chayav for shor haniskal, because it's a shechita shenruya. But according to the Rabbanon, a shechita shor haniskal is a candidate for chayav dal v'hei, because it meets the criteria of shechita, even though it's technically a neruya. So this is one issue that the Gemara discusses via Richos in Perek Merubin, the Sam Perek of Kama, about Shechita Shohaniskol vis-a-vis Dal Behei. What's your standard of Shechita Shohaniskol? And then the Gemara throws a whole nother monkey wrench into the sugya. The Gemara says, wait a second. Maybe Shohaniskol. Anyone look this up and Tosfos quotes this whole story? No? Didn't Tosfos quote all this? Nobody saw it? What? That, did anyone look up the Gemara 9-11? A little bit quickly, right? Okay, fine. Okay, that's what I'm filling it in. Okay, that's my job. So, there's a whole other issue involved in Shechita v'shoha nisko vis-vis dalvei. Anyone can figure out? Forget about the Shechita angle. Forget about the Chisaron of Shechita. Anyone think of another reason, another creative reason why maybe you're not chayav? Oh, so that's already the third issue. So before we get to that, before we even get anyone near there, is it still the violence? You're only chayav if I steal something from you and I'm being mafsid your mamon. Means it's still yours. I go ahead and I shecht it. I'm destroying your property. Wait a second. Once it becomes a shoha nisko, what happens to it? It becomes osur b'hano. And if it becomes osur b'hano, then it may very well become a candidate of what the Gemara uses the phrase lav demari katavach. It doesn't really belong to the bialim anymore, whatever shape or form that statement means. So if it's not really the bialim anymore, why mechayv altogether? Lav demari katavach. The Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, taka, that makes a lot of sense. That's taka, a good taina. So maybe the shochet, the shoha nisko, would be potter for a totally different reason, because lav demari katavach. So according to Rabbi Shimon, there's nothing to discuss. Avadi and archav davei, it's a shechita shenaruya. And even according to the Rabban who don't subscribe to the reason of Shechita Shenaruya, they would accept this as another reason, another impediment for making you chayav for a dalal v'hei, because it's lav demari katavach. So does anyone here learn Merub ever? Anyone here learn Terpech Ksubis? So the Gemara comes up with an unbelievable, wild, crazy scenario to explain how you can be chayav for dalal v'hei, even though it's quote-unquote lav demari katavach, because that the animal was taken by a shomer, and now when the god of steals it based on shomer, he's now preventing the shomer from being able to return the animal to the original bialim. So you're being mafsid the shomer, that's chus, because, anyone know what machlekes the Gemara references to? We spoke about this not that long ago. The machlekes is about Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanon, where the omen be isri hano harei Shechol Fanecha, remember that? Did we talk about this recently? Where the Gomim Dinah shall show up before of? Does that ring a bell? So the Gemara has a whole razzle dazzle discussion just because we're plotting to find the case of Taver Shoha Nisko. So the Gemara spends an entire blot in Merubah, and the same sugi appears verbatim in Ksubas in the third paragraph. You could spend weeks and weeks and weeks, which we did when we learned Ksubas, we spent weeks on it. We learned Merubah 15 years ago, we spent weeks on it. Just trying to figure out all the intricacies of this crazy, wild nafkamina of a tevech to shoha nisko. Very good. So far, so good? Okay. This is all the background. Now we get to the punchline for us. But there's a whole nother problem involved in tevech shoha nisko. There's a whole nother reason why tevech shoha nisko should perhaps be putter from Dal Behei, and that's based on a whole nother Gemara in Perek Merubah, which runs as follows. We said that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you shochet es hatreifa, tevech es hatreifa, you potter. Why? Shechita shenaruya. What if you mocher es hatreifa? I haven't said the word mocher yet. I steal an animal from you, and I sell it. So I'm chayav d'alvei. It's the same. Shechita, tvicha, mechira, either one you chayav. Hagonev es hatreifa umecharo, according to Rabbi Shimon, you chayav, you potter. What's the answer? Of course you what? What should not be chayav? I stole a kiyignovish umecharo. You want to tell me that utfacho is not called the shechita because it's la enaruya? That I am a kabbal. That I can understand maybe a Rabbi Shimon. But how in the world can Rabbi Shimon tell you it's not called the mechira? What's the answer? Why would it not be called the mechira? The answer is called mechira. Why would you perhaps be potter? Maybe utfacho umecharo is almost like a lot like a package deal. The Torah is saying that the only time you chayef one is if you potentially give a chayef of the other. It's all or nothing. So if you have a type of a cheftz, a type of an animal that's nitan to a chiev of tvicha, that type of a chayfetz is nitan to a chiev of mechir as well. But if you can't potentially be chayef of tvicha, then maybe you can't be chayef of mechir either. So that very, very nuanced point, that darkest point, where the tvicha and mechir go hand in hand with the two separate mechayvim, that was a mechlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Mishlokish. And the Gemara presented within the worldview of Rabbi Shimon, according to Bishimon, who says that a teveach as a treifa is potur, what would the din be about mocher as a treifa? So that's a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says, tachi yechayev, because the two have nothing to do with each other. Rish Lakish says, no, you're potter, because Rish Lakish coined the phrase with the Rabbi Shimon, Kol she'enai bewat betvicha, what? Eina b'mechira. Okay? So far, so good? So we had a whole crazy, wild discussion about being tevech shahinisko. We came up with a half a dozen reasons why you should be potter, but at the end of the day, the Gemara said you could be chayav. If you overcome the problems of Shchidish and Ruya, and you overcome the issues of Lav Demarka Tavach, we can potentially create an illustration, we can create a scenario on the board where Tavach Shahnisko is going to be Chayev. It does exist. It exists theoretically in the world of somebody's very, very creative imagination. There is a Chiyah potentially of Tavach Shahnisko. Comes the Gemara and says, according to Rish Lakish, kosher eina b'tvicha and b'chira, let's flip it around. What would the din be if you have a type of a chayfet, type of an animal, that for some reason you can't what? You can't sell. So what would Rish Lakish say about that? If you went ahead and you shechted it, what would Rish Lakish say? What do you think Rish Lakish would say? Falter. You know why? Because the corollary of kosher eina b'tvicha and b'chira is kol. Hey, no. What's the next word? Chira. Chira. Eino b'tzvicha. Okay, so again, this is all Rish Lakish talking. So Rish Lakish tells me chiddush number one, then he tells me chiddush number two, and now, after all that, now Rabbeinu Tam enters onto the scene. So again, Rabbeinu Tam didn't say things in a vacuum. Rabbeinu Tam had all of Perek Meruba mamish on his fingertips, together with the rest of Torah, and Rabbeinu Tam connected the dots. Rabbeinu Tam says, wait a second, hold the phone. According to Rish Lakish, Tvicha Mechir, it's all or nothing. If you can't sell, then you can't be Tvich, and vice versa. Can we even begin to discuss HaMocher as Shohanisko? How could you be Mocher Shohanisko? It's what? It's what? Is Rabbeinu Tam playing with us, saying, how could you be Mocher Shohanisko? After all, Nigma Dina was what? Asabana. Hayitochid, you can sell Isuri Hano? That's crazy. How can you sell something that's also Hano? That's absurd. But wait a second, says Rabbeinu Tam. If you can't sell a Shohanisko, so you would never be Chayef for Mechir, because the Mechir wouldn't be valid. You're only Chayef for a Mechir that takes effect. That's Chal, that's Teifes. So if you're only Chayef for a Mechir, and therefore a Shohanisko is not Nitan Le Mechir, then what else is it not Nitan to? According to Rish Lakish? If it's not susceptible to the chia for mechia, what else is it not chia for? For tvicha. So why is the Gemara wasting our time in that ayin aleph and creating these wild, crazy scenarios of tevech shoranisko? The Gemara says tevech shoranisko could be chia. It is potentially chia. You have to get around a lot of problems. You got to get around Rabbi Shimon. You got to get around Lav Demarka. We'll do that. We'll get rid of all the obstacles. But in theory, there is a rule. There is a case. Tevech shoranisko can sometimes be chia, not always. Once in a blue moon can be chayav. Director Ben Tam, according to Rish Lakish, that brisa that says, there's a brisa that quotes in the pit that says, Tavach Shardisko chayav, takes the Gemara acrobats back and forth, upside down, standing on its head, giving you kimtas, giving wild lumdas, taking a month of learning, but we did it. We succeeded. And we found the case that there's somebody out there who says, Tavach Shardisko is chayav, Director Ben Tam, that Shita should be removed. That shita should be non-existent. There shouldn't even be such a sugya. There shouldn't be such a tana. There shouldn't be such a brisa. You know why? Because in the yeshiva of Rish Lakish, it's a non-starter. You know why it's a non-starter? Because it's an eina b'what? It's an eina b'mechira. Why is it eina b'mechira? Because it's also b'hano. If it's eina b'mechira, it's eina b'tficha. End of discussion. Why doesn't the Gemara say that? Says Rabbeinu Tam. You know why? It must be because the premise is wrong. It is yeshna b'what? The Mechira, why is the Yeshna B'Mechira? Guess what? Because it's not Asubanra yet. It's Nigma Dino, says Rabbeinu Tam, just kidding. Nigma Dino does not really mean anything. Nigma Dino means, Nigma Dino sets the stage for if and when it dies at a later point, it becomes Asubanra. But right now, is it Asubanra? No. Right now, can you sell it? Yep. Somebody wants to buy it for the next hour, pay you $1,000 to be able to ride it around for the next hour to do work, because it's Yeshna B'Mechira. Since it's Yeshna B'Mechira, therefore, the ball starts rolling, it's yeshter v'chira, it's yeshter b'tvicha. It's yeshter b'tvicha, we can seriously discuss the possibility of tavach shohanisko being chayef. Now again, we have to still do acrobats to find the case, because we got Rav Shimon, we got Rabban, we got a lot of problems on our hands. But at the end of the day, we'll overcome all those problems. Adkan, divrei Rabbi Natan. This is Tosfos Raya for Rabbi Natan. Sounds good, right? Everyone figured out the Raya? How long did it take Tosfos to say that? How long was that Raya? V'yesh Raya de lo nesa mechaim, ha desana b'merubu v'prek elonairis, godav shura niska v'tokh v'sham v'sham v'chliz de v'rameir, v'yamai ha'leisa b'chir, v'kamer shlok v'shosam, v'mruch ha'shesh v'tokh yesh b'chir, v'chashim v'him, v'dinanarum, okay, that was Rebbeinu Tam. Everyone figured out that Rebbeinu Tam? Everyone, who understood that Raya when they read it? Who understands that Raya now? Why not bad? Okay, we have 30% of the guys. We accomplished something for the last 45 minutes. Okay, everyone else is working on the Raya. I think you do the Raya. Okay, good. So Rebbeinu, so we've discovered this is Rebbeinu Tam's biggest grandiose Raya. The entire Raya of Rebbeinu Tam is hanging on for dear life. According to Rebbeinu Tam, if I have a shohanisko in front of me, I'm not trying to make an issue with it. I just got a simple plain shohanisko. My animal killed somebody. I have the shore in front of me. Beis Din just go medino. Beis Din says, "Listen, come bring this. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. In 4 hours, and I'll be there. Bring the shore to be killed. In the next 4 hours, I want to work with the shore. That's fine. That's okay. Nothing wrong. Lechatchila, the rice, the abundance, mut lechatchila to work for the next 4 hours of the shore." And what did Rebbeinu Tam say? Not only can I work with the shore, what else can I do? If I want to, if I can find some gullible guy, some guy's willing to buy it for a couple of hours, what can I do? I can sell it. Nitam l'mechira. According to everybody else, that's absurd. But according to Rebbeinu Tam, that's okay. And it's that nitam l'mechira that lets Rish Lakish learn the sugya and the fine alf properly. Everyone agrees it's hinging on that nekuda. That according to Rebbeinu Tam, nigmar dino, machor machor. What's the problem with Rebbeinu Tam? Not only where did he get that from, but he is diametrically opposed to another statement of Chazal. That's the one that's Namdalan. Let's take a look at that Gemara again in the 6th of Mamma comes. Tanur Rabbanan, Shor Shehenis, an animal kills, Achel Nigmadin, before Nigmadin, Machor Bachor, Hekdisha Mukdash, Shachta Besar Mutter, Hekdishal Shavu Bez Bala Mutter, Ma'a Mukhsafa. Now it starts problems. Misha Nigmadin, once it's Nigmar Hadin, listen to what happens. Oy, oy, oy. Machro ain't a machur. Hekdesho ain't a muktosh. It doesn't bode well for Rebbeinu Tam. Rebbeinu Tam's entire theory was working with the premise that the shore is going to be nitan lemechira after Nigmar Hadin. And now we have a braisa that says Pem Mole, which is Nigmar Dino. Machor ain't a machor. How in the world is Rebbeinu Tam going to explain that? Everyone see that kasha? So what's the answer to that kasha? So forget about everything we said. Hopefully we don't forget about it entirely, but let's not forget that Rebbeinu Tam's entire theory, there's only one Gemara supporting Rebbeinu Tam. There are 15 other Gemaras that seem to contradict Rebbeinu Tam. There's one Gemara. One Gemara is Resh Lakish Ashita in Koshen B'Tvicha as related to Ayin Bav Adaya. 15 Gemaras in Meruba. There was one Gemara that Rabbeinu Tam concluded to say that the Raya Brura says Rabbeinu Tam that Nigmar Dino is Yeshna B'Mechira. That was Rabbeinu Tam's Yesod HaYesodis. That is Yeshna B'Mechira. The Gemara says B'Ferish. Nigmar Dino, Machro, Eino Machor. How's Rebbeinu Tam? How could Rebbeinu Tam read the Gemara? Rebbeinu Tam is Zabekias in all of Avakam, and he forgot one line in the Gemara. How could that be? How are you talking about this? So, what's Pshat in this Gemara according to Rebbeinu Tam? So, Tyson Sanhedrin has two possibilities. You remember? You remember one of the possibilities? Anyone saw Tyson? What does Tyson say in Sanhedrin? Huh? What does it mean? What does machr in a machr mean? It's a very, very strong statement. So I thought machr in a machr means I sell it to you, and the lawyers declare the sale is invalid. Transaction canceled, negated, nothing happened. Why? It's also about no. How could you possibly sell it? That's what I thought the Gemara meant. That's what Rashi said. That's what probably the Rambam. That's what all the Rishayim said. Rabbi Natan can't say that because, quite frankly, it's not what? There's no reason to be in a mocher because it's what? Tumutabano. So why is a mocher in a mocher? So Rabbi Natan said, you're right. It's not in a mocher. It is mocher. So what in the world does the Gemara mean when it says in a mocher? Tom says it means as follows. Of course it's mocher. Of course the mechir is going to take place. Why not? I still own it. It's mutabano. Why can't I sell it? Totally, completely mine. So I sell it. Reuben sells it to Shimon. And now the Beis Din comes to look for the shore. So Beis Din comes to Reuben's house and says, okay, it's 3 o'clock. We've come to collect the shore to take it to the Beis Haskila. So what does Reuben say? Sold it to Shimon. So the Beis Din knocks on Shimon's door and says, okay, we've come to pick up the shore. We want to take it to the Beis Haskila. So Shimon says, excuse me. You're not taking the shore. It's my shore. I got it. It's my shore. Reuben sold it. It's fair and square. He owned it. It was mutabano. He sold it. It's my shore. You're not taking my shore to the Beis Haskila. No. What does the Beis Din say? Yes, we are. We're taking it to the Beis Haskila. It's Chayav Skila. It's Chayav Skila. And what are we saying to you, Shimon, in effect? What do we say to Shimon? What words do we say to him? We don't really mean what we say, but what do we mean? What three words do we say? What do we say to him? We look Shimon straight in the face. What do we say to him? Machro eino machro. What does that really mean? It means, don't think you're going to be able to keep it. Don't think you're going to drain the chakup and you're going to hold on to the shore for the next month and finish the harvest and then you'll give it. No, no, no. Your mechira is meaningless. What does that mean, it's meaningless? It doesn't mean it wasn't taifes. It doesn't mean it wasn't chal dini mamonis. It means if you think that your mechira is going to delay our punishing the shore, forget it, man. It's not going to happen. Mocher in a mocher. What you're trying to do is not going to work. It's not going to help. Because we have a responsibility. We have a mitzvah there. I suckle you, suckle ashore. We're not allowed to delay things. We can't even give you a few hours. We can't give you until tomorrow. You know, not allowed to delay a din of dini nefashos. There's no such thing as putting the animal on death row for the next 20 years. That's not a Jewish concept. It's chaymi, it's chaymi. It's finished. So we say to you, machor and a machor, but we don't really mean it. It's not a halachic statement. That's just a way of describing the fact that the nulakeh got to cough up the shore. But you want to know, in Dini Mavis, according to the rules of Shechash Mishpat, was the animal sold? What's the answer?
Yeah.
Of course it was sold. Why was it sold? Well, why wasn't that sold? Did I sell you my animal? It's my animal. I had to show him this girl, so what? It's the mutabano according to Benetam. So according to this way of reading Mocher Eino Mocher, Rabbi Natan Mamash snuck out of this one. He says, Gebal Keshrigin Nigma Dina Mocher Eino Mocher. So what's the answer, Rabbi Natan? What word comes out of this in the world of Halacha? What word gets crossed out in the world of Halacha? Yeah, you know, doesn't really mean anything. It just means what we said it means, but it doesn't really mean Eino Mocher. Of course it's Mocher. It's a legitimate sale. It's a valid sale. It's not going to help the Lekech very much, but it's a legitimate valid sale. And therefore, it's Yeshna B'Mechira, which is good for a Ben Etam, because if it's Yeshna B'Mechira, then it's also Yeshna B'Wat, B'Dvicha. And then we can discuss Toveach Shor HaNiskol, potentially being Chayav Dal Dehei. And again, you know, assume we can get around all the other technical problems. But the Ikaron, Rabbi Natan's Raya still stands, and that little Gemara that Mem Dalam Abayis was just kidding. It didn't really mean Eino Mocher. Eino really meant yes. Shh, hold on. So the statement of Rabbi Natan, yeah.
There's no Hakamina that the transference,
like
it was a good
clear
that would inhibit
the
from being able to actually do the
Tefillah.
It doesn't actually matter. So
right, right, right. You're going to, the Basin's going to do what they have to do anyway. Once this Nigmar Din is over, right? If the sale would have preceded Nigmar Din, that's the Sugya on Daf. Actually, Gimel, that's a whole different thing. But after the Gemara, it's over, it's over. But the same thing, that we're going to say to Hektish the same story, that, you know, we're sorry, Mr. Hektish, but we're taking it away from you. Well, we're just going to say that all the price it means is that you guys do what you want, but we're taking the shore to us. The whole goal of the Brice is just to say that don't push Bezin away, right? They're just different examples of the same Yisoy that don't push Bezin out of the picture. So this is the first possibility, B'dasa B'netam, to get out of that problem. And if we get out of the problem that way, then we're good to go. Then we're Givaldic. Then everything's wonderful. B'netam's Rai is a good Rai. He took on all the other Rishonim, Givaldic. But Tosfos is not even sure that this is the correct Dichoy, because Tosfos is a little bit nervous about this. Mocher in a mocher doesn't really mean in a mocher. There's not really cheshavish, but it's just like a nice, nasty way of talking to the lekeach and telling him to get lost or taking his ox away. So Tosfos backtracks from it into that and says, you know, maybe we erased the word eino a little bit too quick. Maybe the word eino really does belong here, and maybe it belongs there even according to the worldview of Rabbi Natan, which in this goes mutter b'hano. How do we explain that phenomenon? How can we possibly explain away that the Braisa really means what it says, according to Rabbi Natan? It's mutter b'hano. Why should the Bechir not be chal? Because Tos, interesting. Interesting idea. Tos didn't say that. Interesting idea. You're assuming the guy didn't know. Any other ideas? Why would it be the mocher and a mocher? He said, after all, according to Rabbi Natan, according to the Rishonim, it's also bano. So I got it, it's also bano. So it's ain't a mocher. According to Rabbi Natan, it's mutter bano. But maybe you still can't sell it. It's not his. Why is it not his? That's mutter bano. Why is it not his? What's the answer? Because the Torah, in effect, is grabbing away from him. The Torah has declared that you can't hold on to it now. You got to give it up to the Beis Din. There's a mitzvah sokli sokol ashor. So maybe one could argue, according to Rabbi Tam, even though it's technically speaking mutter bano right now, the institution of bailus can't exist on something that's torn bir min ha'olam. Something that's torn skila, something that's omed lekach to become removed immediately. It's not shaykh that bailus on that. Bailus means I'm in total control. This is my gemara. Why? I paid money for the gemara. I can do whatever I want with my gemara. I have a bottle of water I bought this morning, a bottle of water. So it's my way. I can do whatever I please. I want to use it. I want to drink it. I want to throw it onto the floor. I want to pour it on somebody's head. I'm complete bailum on this water. I'm sure that my hands are so tied that the Torah says, you're giving it up to us in about 10 seconds from now. The second Beis Din comes. It could be at that point it's ready hufka bailus. Once it's mufka the bailus, even though it's technically mutter bano, if the guy is a shy and wants to know, Rabbi, can I ride the shore now for 5 minutes? Can I work the shore for 5 minutes? So the Beis Din say yes, because it's going to take us 5 minutes till we get to you. So you want to do some quick, plowing, because there's nothing wrong, there's nothing awesome. It's of a head, there's nothing wrong with it. But are you the bailum of the shore? You can't own something that you're completely out of your control of using. And therefore, it could be that even according to Rabbi Natan, the Braisa reads Kipshuto, Nigbadino, Mocher, Eino Mocher. Of course, if that's what the Braisa means, and that's what Rabbi Natan really holds, then what did we, in effect, unravel? We just created a huger problem than we had beforehand. We're not willing to go down the idea of a mocher and a mocher, crossing out the word eino and reinterpreting it, but we want to keep the Braisa Kipshuto, even according to Rabbi Natan, and say that it's eino mocher, not because of Rashi's reason that it's asabah. No, that's not true. That's not why it's eino mocher, but rather the reason is because it's omeid lisokel, but the ikaron is eino mocher, because it's not really yours. What's the problem then? Then the whole Rai of Rabbi Natan is Ishkin Rai. The whole thing, the whole engine, the whole we've been talking about for the last hour, is Rabbi Natan proved that a Shor Niskel is Mutter Bano, or if Rabbi Natan himself didn't prove it, but the Balei Tosfos, his Talmidim, try to prove to support their Rebbe, by saying, we've discovered a Gemara that supports Rabbi Natan. We have all these other Gemaras that seem to negate Rabbi Natan. Agamar, Kedushin Gemara, but okay, all the Gemaras don't sound like Rabbi Natan, but we put together a string of Gemaras. We learned through half a Perek Merubah, and we discovered that if you connect the dots between Reish Lakish and Shor Niskel and Shechin and Shmush, Chitzen Aruya, and you finally connect everything together, then you have a support for Rabbi Natan, because since Kosh Enim Bechira Enim B'Tvicha according to Reish Lakish, and a Shor Niskel according to Rova Rishom is Enim B'Mechira, then the Gemara about Tvicha doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Natan said, no, I'll solve the problem because it's Yesh Tvicha Mechira. But if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Natan himself ultimately gives it, he caves in to Rashi, and he also says, Eino b'mechira, for whatever reason he says it, So then Nafla Yisrael, Nafla Binyan, then the entire edifice, the entire theory of Ben Atam is shattered. The entire proof of Ben Atam comes crumbling down. So I understand and I appreciate why Tosfos was hemming and hawing and didn't want to say that Eino doesn't mean Eino. They wanted to say that Eino doesn't mean Yeshno. I understand why Tosfos was sensitive to this and says Eino Mocher means Eino Mocher, and Rabbi Natan agrees, albeit for a different reason than Rashi. But once you say this pshat, so then the entire raya just fell by the wayside. Who makes this ara? Anyone? So who made this ara? Everything I just said, I just took it right out of a Tosfos. Anyone saw the Tosfos? Anyone see that Tosfos said this? Take a look at the Tosfos and Sanhedrin again. Tosfos put together different parts of the Tosfos, gotta make sure we find the right pieces. Probably that line was out. Okay, with that last akuda, the two dichuyim Tosfos has that I put on my Maamar number 7, but the last point is in the end of the Tosfos. I'm sorry, I should have left that line on. What Tosfos makes this ha'ara that if you're willing to interpret Rabbeinu Tam that you really can sell the Shohar Niskol, so then you're free to have Rabbeinu Tam's raya. But the minute that you say that you can sell the Shohar Niskol according to Rabbeinu Tam because it's only the sakel, so then you're finished. So then the whole raya just disappears into thin air. So Rabbi Yisai, we're back to where we started. Namely, we have Machloikis, Rabbi Natami, and all the other Rishonim. What is our take at Shohar Niskol Michaim? Is the Shohar Niskol Mutta Michaim? Is the Shohar Niskol Asa Michaim? Most of the Rishonim said it's Asa Michaim. That's the super reading of all the Gemaras, the Medina. Rabbi Natami revamped them all. Rabbi Natami had the opposite approach based on his whole razzle dazzle raya that may or may not be a raya, depending on how you read. Memdala, Ding Medina, Mocher, and Mocher. Rabbi Yisai, let's go back to Daf Memdala for a little while. Focus on that Gemara a little more because that seems to be a very pivotal Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mishanigma Dino, Machor Eino Machor. So let's leave Rabbi Natan out of the picture for now. Let's focus on Rashi. Rov HaRishonim, Osa Bano. Very, very simple, Braisa, not all that complicated. Machor Eino Machor, because after all, it's Osa Bano. Can somebody please explain to me what the after all is? After all, it's Asa Bano, so of course it's Machor and Machor. Can someone explain to me why that follows? Why does the Isra No automatically result in a Eino Machor? Why exactly is that? Okay, so I'm a bad prayer. I didn't have here. Chatasi Visi Peshati. I want to know why the Mechira is not Chabadi Evan. I'm sitting at a Din Torah right now. Reuven sells a cheeseburger to Shimon. Reuven sells Petah Chamor, sells Anoza, sells a Shohar Niskol, sells Egla Rufa, sells something to Shimon that's Asa Bano. So the Braisa says, Mocher Eino Mocher, the Mechir is not Chal. Not the Skila Shebo, not Rabbi Natan's version, not Rabbi Natan's changing version. Simple Pshah in the Gemara. Because it's Asa Bano, therefore, Mocher Eino Mocher. Why is that? It's not what? So the simplest Pshah in the Gemara is it's not yours to sell. That's quite a statement you're saying. What are you really saying? What are we really saying? We're saying it's not yours to sell? You're taking a stand on a very, very basic question about bailus, and you're saying that something that's also about no is what? Doesn't belong to you. If I bought the hamburger, I went to the store and I bought the container of milk, I cooked it together in my pot, I own this and I own that, and now it's possible cholov. And you just told me that's not mine anymore. Based on what? Why is it not mine? So what do you have to say? Some razzle-dazzle shtickle Torah that what? That the Torah, in effect, by declaring that it's also banah, It's not nitan to ownership. You can't own something that you can't use. If it's totally, completely out of your control, so it's not yours. The Torah is mafkir your Bibles from it. I don't know if that's true. I have no idea if that's true. But that's the simple pshat in Mocher and a Mocher. Again, it's not Rav Inatam, and we're not crossing out the words Eid or making it Yeshno. We're reading the Gemara Kipshuta, like Rav Hashem, like Rashi learns, Asa Banoa, therefore in a Mocher. And I just want to know why. What is it about Asa Banoa, the Yisra Noa, that creates the inability to sell? So the answer very well may be it's not yours. It's probably all the same. Hektish is probably just another example of what you can do. You can't be Makdish what's not yours. You can't sell what's not yours. Good. Right. So does anyone have anything to say about this? Anyone learn Sukkah last year? Hula Gazel? Who's learning last year for Hula Gazel? Does this ring a bell? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in the third pack of Sukkah, that if you have an Esrog Shel Orla, the first 3 years, oral is also bano. So the Mishnah says, "Esrog shel orla is posel." Why is an esrog shel orla posel? Why does the Gemara say esrog shel orla is posel? The Gemara says some very, very cryptic thing. What does it say? Who knows? Ain bo what? Ain lo heter what? Achila. Ain lo din achila. Ain lo heter achila. Gemara took it. Did I put that in my mekaymes? No, I put it on. Number 8. Orla posel by timer. Since you can't eat it, therefore you're not yet in the midst of the Al-Midim. And what in the world does that mean? Where does the Torah say, Bidabashim, we have to eat your Esrog? And I don't want to make it into Esrog jam after Sukkot. I'm going to throw it into the garbage. What does eating the Esrog have to do with anything? No, who remembers from last year? So what's the simple pshat in the Gemara? That, well, it does have to, we know that an Esrog has to be what? Lochem, ukachtem lochem b'yom harishon. And here I have something that I can't use. I can't eat and I can't enjoy. I can't sell. I can't feed my dogs. I can't eat it myself. I can't make esrog jelly. I can't make esrog schnapps. I can't do anything with it. It's oil or schnapps I would never be able to make anyway. But I have this esrog that's basically not usable. B'chlal. So when the Gemara says, what is that a code phrase for saying? It doesn't say in the Chumash, you have to eat the esrog. But what does it say? Lochem is the statement of the Imamunis. How do you measure whether something is mamre? You have to open up Chesh Mishpah and figure out, are you the rightful owner or not? So the answer is, says the Ravid, the Rizvah quotes from the Ravid, that you see clear from this Gemara, that you don't own a Dabra or Sabano. It's just not Nitan Pabayimus. You cannot own something that says, well, it just doesn't make any sense. There's no such entity in Halacha called owning a Dabra or Sabano. That's the Ravid's Pshah in the Gemara, in Sukkot Daf Lamed Hei. Now, the Ravid would be very much supported by Baba Kama Daf Mem Daled. Because if you don't own it, so then I understand why it's very hard to sell something you don't own. If I try to sell your car to somebody else without being your shliach, it's probably not going to work. Correction, definitely not going to work. I can't sell what I don't own. So if I don't own the Dover also, then once the Torah is mafkir my bios, from the main of the Torah is mafkir my ability to sell. So the chor, what the Ravid says in Sukkot Daf Lamed Hei, the simple pshat in the Gemara, is exactly what the Gemara is saying. But v'kamen Daf Mem Daled, v'am shaynu hach. But who remembers from last year, who saw the Mamakamas, that the Ritva quotes the Ravid and says, the Ritva says, there's no such klal, there's no such entity, no such animal quote, because it's also, no, you don't own it. What is the Gemara meaning in that Yetzir, because the Ein Bo Heter Achila? The Ritva says something entirely different. Who remembers the Pshat and the Ritva? Who remembers? What did the Ritva say? Who was with us last year? The Ritva says three other words, two magic words, Ksuste Mechta Shire, namely, an esrog has to have a certain size. There's a shear of an esrog, machlik, satanoim, egel, kebetza. There's a certain minimum size. We pass in kebetza. It has to be the size of kebetza. What are you supposed to do with orla, Rabbi Say? What happens to orla? Orla gets burnt. Anything that's omed l'kach to be burnt, the Gemara says, if it's omed l'kach to be burnt, there's no shear. The shear is botla mavutla, called kisusi mechta shiure. Now the Gemara does say that in a different context. The Gemara says that who remembers where? By Avodah Zarah, by Asherah, your Nidachas. Remember that back in Daf Lamed Aleph from Sukkah? The Gemara talks about a lulav of Shel Asherah. So there's definitely a Torah concept, a Lachah concept called something that requires a shear and it's supposed to be burnt. Is ice shear. The shear doesn't exist. So the Ritva turns around the Ravid and says, your reason why you disqualified in Esrog Shel Orla because it's not Lachem, that is not true. The reason why in Esrog Shel Orla is possible, what the magic words Ein Bo Heter Achila mean, everyone agrees Ein Bo Heter Achila is not the real reason. Ein Beit Rechila is either a description of not being called Lechem, or it's a description of the fact that you can't eat it, i.e. you have to burn it. That's just a nice poetic way. It's a nicer way of saying you have to burn it. Once you have to burn it, then there's chisaron in the Shia. So everyone agrees that Ein Beit Rechila is not the real reason. The reason the Rishonim are explaining is that's an indication, that's a raya to something. Either it's a raya that, well, you don't own it, or it's a raya that it's ton sereifa, and therefore it's just a matter of the shiure. What's the practical nafka between the rabbi and the ritva, who remembers in Dalaminim? Is it possible when? After the first day. Because lachem is only a psul on the first day. The chisaron shiur is a psul the whole week. So according to the rabbi, it would be kosher after the first day. According to the ritva, it would be possible in the Torah the entire week. So again, we spent a lot of time in this last year. Okay, good. So this machloik is now, between the Ravid and the Ritva, is now going to resurface in Bava Kamdaf Memdalad. According to the Ravid, the Gemara in Memdalad reads like a charm. Machar in a machar, because it's not yours. Leaving out Rabbeinu Tam. It's not yours. Al Sabana. So according to the Ravid, it's Eino Shalom. But wait, according to the Ritva, who says, it is Shalom. So we have a big problem. If it's Shalom, so then why can't you sell it? What's wrong with that? If it's yours, why can't I sell? Why can't I sell if it's mine? So I have to figure out tomorrow. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to figure out how would the Ritva read this Gemara. So everything's going to revolve around this Gemara. This is the pivotal Gemara, Daf Mem Daled, and we already have a major machlokes. What did Rabbeinu Tam say about this? Two versions of Rabbeinu Tam, and even within the view of Rav Rishon, we're not even sure why the Gemara says what it says. Hopefully, Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to put the final touches on this part of the sukkah. Okay, we'll stop here.